This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
So they're sounding off on it right now. So it might be old-fashioned, but for some, landlines will never go out of style. Those who still rely on the traditional phones got to sound off one last time on AT&T's plan to phase out landlines in California. The CPUC is holding its last two public hearings today before it considers the carrier's request to cut the cord. A lot of people who live in more remote areas with shoddy cell service are pretty worried about getting cut off, including Gina. She's a therapist in Marin County who says without landlines, her business will not survive. Our Laureen Ayoub has her story.
Small but mighty. That's how Gina describes her landline.
Hey, are you ready for your session?
When the San Rafael-based therapist found out AT&T is considering removing landline services in California, her immediate reaction was fear.
I felt frightened and doomed because my whole business depends upon my landline.
While Gina does meet with some patients in person, the majority of her sessions are via telephone, or a mix of both in person and telephone. She can't rely on cellular service because in her area, it's never consistent.
I work with at-risk patients. I'm a trauma therapist. And so I work with patients that have to have their sessions. Can you hear me now?
And taking the risk of using a cell phone can be far too dangerous. Okay. She says even having a voiceover IP line doesn't work for her either because of internet connection issues.
I can't get a modem because of the way the offices are cut up. We can't have different modems in the different spaces. So my landline is everything. Bit by bit.
It is the critical connection point that enables her to provide consistent care for the patients she passionately serves. I asked Gina what would happen if she lost that service, and she said,
I have no idea, and that really scares me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just praying that they don't stop the service, that maybe somebody else takes over the service or something, because I have no plan B.
And for now, as long as there is a line, Gina says, she will stay connected.
AT&T says fewer than 7% of Californians use landlines, and if it gets the green light, it will make sure there are alternatives for Gina and others before they cut the cord.
We are going to continue to provide existing voice service for as long as it's needed. And that is particularly in those areas where there may only be AT&T landline service available to a customer.
So several local governments, including San Mateo and San Cruz County, have publicly come out against the plan. Others say they will be monitoring the decision, which is expected to come in September. All right, now to Pleasant Hill. Police in the East Bay, they're looking for the gunman after a double shooting in Pleasant Hill that left one dead and one severely injured. Witnesses reported hearing multiple gunshots and a loud car speeding off just before noon. They found two men lying on the ground who had been shot several times.
One man was down. He was not moving at all. The other guy was bleeding a lot everywhere. When they got him up, I guess they put him onto the gurney. You know, you could see him, and he was moving a little bit, talking.
Both men were taken to John Muir Medical Center in Walnut Creek, where a 67-year-old man was pronounced dead. The second man is being treated for injuries described as life-threatening. Investigators say a wrong-way crash killed an innocent driver and injured three others on 580 at the MacArthur Maze today. This evening, police identified the driver who caused the crash, 34-year-old Patrick Sheckles of Oakland, and his accomplice, 56-year-old Andre Alberti of San Francisco. They say the two were fleeing after ransacking a smoke shop in El Cerrito. The theft was caught on camera. Amanda Harry gives us a look.
After this early morning break-in, the owner says the tobacco outlet will be closed for at least a few days, maybe even a week. The front is boarded up, and he estimates it'll cost about $50,000 to fix.
This was just like a whole nother level.
Shocking video shows the moment two suspects backed a white truck into the front of the tobacco outlet in El Cerrito, destroying the facade and thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. The suspects then spent about 3 minutes filling up their bags.
They acted on a game show, just grabbing what they could and running out, you know, and it was like fun and games to them.
The owner, Omar, did not want to show his face on camera, fearing for his safety. He says his phone started ringing around 4:20 Tuesday morning. Police quickly responded and the situation escalated. The suspects jumped back in their pickup truck and took off. El Cerrito police chased them onto westbound I-80. After the I-80 merged with westbound I-580, police say the suspects abruptly changed directions and began driving the wrong way. Police disengaged and CHP took over. CHP says the wrong way vehicle hit two other cars. The two suspects and another driver have major injuries. The driver of a BMW was killed in the crash. Omar says while this loss to his business is bad, it's nothing compared to the innocent loss of life.
This gentleman was on his way to work and, you know, just out of nowhere, it was it. It ended for him, you know. He thought he was going to have a good day, go home, see the family. No, but these scumbags decided, no, that's not going to happen today.
Products from Omar's smoke shop littered the highway. He says this is the sixth major break-in in the last 5 years, and he can't even get insurance.
Our business isn't covered by insurance. Insurance companies dropped us because of instances like this. So anything that happens, it's going out of our pockets.
John Stashek with the El Cerrito Chamber of Commerce stopped to look at the damage. He says situations like this are becoming too common.
Businesses are very, very concerned about doing business here, but we're still better and safer than other cities. We have a full police force, almost fully staffed, and we have our new license plate reader cameras around town, and we're on it fast.
Omar plans to rebuild, but he can't help but be frustrated.
I'm angry. I'm angry at them. I'm angry at people like them thinking that they're above the law.
The owner says he wants to put up parking bollards to prevent crimes like this one, but his landlord won't let him. So he has to resort to just cameras and an alarm, which didn't deter this crime.
All right, Amanda, thank you. So roadway safety is top of mind in San Francisco after a speeding driver slammed into a San Francisco bus, stopped over the weekend, striking a family of four. Happened right outside of West Portal Muni Station on Saturday. The father is 40-year-old Diego Cardoza de Oliveira, the mother, 38-year-old Matuji Moncada Ramos Pinto, and their son, 1-year-old Joaquin Ramos Pinto de Oliveira. All three died after being hit by an SUV going the wrong way. The only survivor of the crash, a 2-month-old baby who is still in the hospital. The attorney of the driver, 78-year-old Mary Fong Lau, says Ms. Lau and her family joined the community in mourning the tragic loss of life that occurred in West Portal over the weekend. We express our gratitude to the first responders that responded to the scene and to the district attorney's office for undertaking a diligent and thorough investigation into the circumstances that led to this tragic accident. And now we are learning more about the plan to add dozens of speed cameras to some of San Francisco's most dangerous intersections. Transit officials met today to talk about 33 locations where cameras will be going up. And that's including near schools, senior centers, and at locations on the high injury network, the 12% of city streets that account for nearly 70% of serious injuries and fatalities. So unlike the 13 red light cameras in San Francisco, which can take photos of drivers, the new speed cameras will only be able to identify license plates. The cameras would initiate fines for cars going 11 miles over the limit.
Every mile a driver goes above 25 miles an hour, the risk for pedestrians just goes up so much.
There have been really some amazing results in the other cities that have used speed cameras. And we've been advocating over and over to try to get them. And we're really, really glad we finally have the chance, even if it's just in a limited pilot program.
Cities like New York have been deploying more than 2,500 speed cameras for about a decade. So here in California, under a new state law, Oakland and San Jose have also been given permission to install the automated speed cameras.